Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening to us here in this great big universe connected by the World Wide Web. The last three guys to do a podcast are back. We're taping a day later than normal, but we are here. Actually, two of us are here. Daniel Bolton and John Morgo are here. Leon Brown is en route. He'll be calling in a matter of moments. And Daniel, we have a big weekend. We waited an extra day to just kind of let it all sit because we're just taking it all in. If you have been paying attention now, there's been a lot of rumblings in more ways than one. We've had two earthquakes strike the Los Angeles, Las Vegas area in a matter of 24 hours. Three, if you count the big news of the weekend, that is the Los Angeles Clippers winning the Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes. He is a Clipper. He's bringing Paul George in with him. We're going to get Leon's assessment of this deal in a little bit as soon as he calls in. But, Daniel, we want to give you the first word. Boy, does this shake up the Western Conference.
It did. But, you know, it also shook up the entire NBA. It also made the NBA this season is going to be probably one of the best seasons. And simply because we have been so used to just two teams and knowing which two teams were going to be there. It was either going to be Golden State or whatever team LeBron James was on. And it just doesn't have that feel anymore. This thing is wide open, and the Clippers are now contenders, not only in the Western Conference, but in the entire NBA to win it all, especially when you add the addition of Kawhi Leonard, a four-year, $141 million deal. He shook up the world with this deal, and John, he made this. This was a huge power move by him. I don't think we've seen a power move this big before. For him to sign this deal and say, hey, I'm only going to sign this deal unless you can bring me another superstar and bring me another, a particular superstar, and that superstar is Paul George. You know, we didn't see that coming. No. I don't think anybody saw that coming because he had just signed a lucrative deal with Oklahoma City, which was like a five-year deal, which was about $200-something million, I believe, which made him a rich man. For them to pull that plug on him, and both of these are Cali boys, so this fit just right for them. And then you got one of the top five coaches in basketball right now, Doc Rivers, running the show over there. Then you've got a gritty point guard in Patrick Beverley. I mean, you have to make them a legitimate contender to win it. And then, of course, Kawhi Leonard, who's been on two NBA championship teams, led an entire country, put an entire country on his back in Canada. For the Toronto Raptors and winning an NBA championship in just one season for them last year. I mean, you have to put them in play. And again, he's made a power move here. You can't really dispute that. He has now changed the landscape of basketball, and he has made it fun again. And I say that because with the Lakers, if he would have went to the Lakers, it would have been like Golden State all over again.
Right.
The Lakers win the NBA championship next year. The question is, do they get to 70 wins? Mm-hmm. Do they join the 70-win club? That would be the only question for the Lakers in the regular season if he was to join them. I personally thought he should have stayed in Toronto. I thought he would have stayed in Toronto because of the support that he had and really enough, John, because he was offered more money.
Yeah.
But it clearly wasn't about that. I think he wanted to go back closer to home. He wanted this is my assumption here on why he would choose them, why he would choose the Clippers. Or maybe he wanted another challenge, and maybe he wanted to go back out west and challenge the West and challenge the state of California.
Maybe, but yeah, this does a ton to basketball. And even in the East, it does a lot because right now that takes Toronto completely out of the equation. And it kind of leaves the East right in Milwaukee's lap. Milwaukee Bucks, probably the odds-on favorite now to win the Eastern Conference. Maybe Philadelphia, if they're trying to make some moves. Maybe Miami, if they can get this whole Jimmy Butler situation situation resolved. So what does this do to the East?
Well, the East is like you said, John, those first two teams, Milwaukee and Philadelphia, you would probably have to make them the clear favorites. I would more so go with Philadelphia a little bit. They re-signed Tobias Harris.
Right, they did.
And they're gonna re-up Ben Simmons. And so they've got their core pieces together with the exception of Jimmy Butler. Some pretty nice moves. They got both of the Lopez boys, which actually played very well together. So I thought that was big. And the only loss they had was Malcolm Brogdon, who went to Indiana. Mm-hmm. But they signed Middleton back. So Chris Middleton is back. He got his max money. They signed him. And that was the viable piece to Giannis Antetokounmpo last year, and that's why Milwaukee was as good as they were, because Middleton was as good as he was. So when you bring your core talent back, you pretty much are solid. You pretty much have a foundation, and Coach Bud is one of the best coaches around that there is.
Right.
So Milwaukee, yeah, they will definitely be a favorite in the East. Philadelphia will be. Brooklyn, I'm not too certain of. We have to hold our horses with Brooklyn until Durant gets back.
Right, Brooklyn is not going to be.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they're not going to be a factor next year. They might be just shopping for another lottery pick to really boost their stock in the following year. I think Brooklyn right now is shooting for 2020-21 right now.
Yeah, but you know what, John? It's so wide open still that they can still make the playoffs. I think they'll still be a good 6 or 7 seed. Mm-hmm. Because they still have Kyrie Irving, they got DeAndre Jordan, so they did make some key acquisitions. Brooklyn definitely was up there when they did what they had to do. Boston was signing Kemba Walker, that could make that team better. And I'll just put it like this: once they learn how to win. Mm-hmm. People better start watching the Atlanta Hawks, because they are going to run. They're going to run some teams out of the gym. They really are. With Trae Young, and you've got Cam Reddish on the wing, and they signed Evan Turner. They traded Bazemore for Evan.
Yeah, they lost Bazemore.
And they got Evan Turner back.
Lost Bazemore.
They lost Bazemore, which I was okay with. I was all right with that move. That's a good move for Portland. And a good move for the Atlanta Hawks, too, because you get a valued sixth man, or you can get a guy that can start and that can run with the young guys, like Trae Young, like DeAndre Hunter, like John Collins, like Cam Reddish. So they're about a couple of years away from actually being legitimate contenders, but can make the playoffs this year as a 7 or an 8 seed.
Yeah, that's when I remember talking to Sam Crenshaw. What was it, 2 weeks ago? When we asked him that mm-hmm. question, and we pretty much came to the conclusion that the one thing the Hawks are going to have to deal with this season is managing expectations. I don't think anyone thinks and truly expects them to be a championship contender next year. I do think they expect maybe. I think if we get 10 more wins than we did last year, I think that would be great. I think probably five or six is more along in the ballpark, and that's enough to get the playoffs. Maybe make a splash in the first round, depending on how the draw works. But more than likely, this is another team that we have to just look at look at what the Atlanta Braves have done. They had to build for a couple of years, and as you said, learn how to win before finally coming on and actually winning, getting 54 wins as we hit the All-Star break now. But again, it's kind of the same route that the two teams have to take in this. But again, for the East, it looks like Milwaukee is the clear favorite, and we'll see what Philadelphia mm-hmm. does. We'll see what Miami does. I think if Miami can get their act together, they might be able to surprise. It's just a matter of, you know, how will this Jimmy Butler situation resolve itself? And unfortunately, that's not going to be known probably for another week, maybe 2 weeks until that gets.
Well, and
No, go ahead.
And also, John, we speak of the Miami Heat. Russell Westbrook's name has come up in trade discussions, and both parties seem to be interested. Both Westbrook's camp and the Miami Heat seem to be interested. So don't be surprised if a move to Miami for Russell Westbrook is made. And if that happens, Miami will be playoff contenders. I don't know. I can't say as to much as them being legitimate contenders in the East, but they will be legit playoff contenders. They could become a top five team with Russell Westbrook out there in Miami.
Well, Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, now that Paul George is out, I think Russell Westbrook is now in legacy mode, and I think he doesn't really want to sit around and watch another Oklahoma City rebuild. I don't think he wants to, and that's what the front office is indicating to him by that move to let Paul George go right after the, as you mentioned earlier, he signed that big contract. Now George is gone, and that immediately denigrates Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City could, if Westbrook goes, Oklahoma City will probably firmly embrace rebuilding mode and go after some
draft picks. And you know what?
Yeah.
And it's funny you mentioned that, John, because they traded away Jeremy Grant today. He's going to Denver for a draft pick. So when you see that kind of move happen, you're looking at Oklahoma City like, okay, we are in serious rebuilding mode. And Westbrook doesn't want to be around for that. Westbrook's been in the league, what, 10 years now?
Yeah, he's in legacy mode.
It's time for him to win. Yeah, he hasn't been to the finals since 2011 or 2012, whatever year that was they went to the finals and lost to Miami. He's looking to get back to that point of time. He's looking to get back to the finals again and do what he needs to do. And if it takes for him to leave a team, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. You know, and he's done everything he possibly could for that city, for Oklahoma City. He's given them some of the best moments. He's a triple-double guy, of course. He was one of the catalysts that led them to their only NBA finals. And I'm not counting with the Supersonics franchise, but that city itself got to experience the NBA finals in Oklahoma City. But it's a tough ordeal for him. I would definitely try to put my hand in that cookie jar and try to see what I can get out of this.
We're going to interrupt this conversation for just 2 seconds. Breaking news out of the Home Run Derby in Cleveland. Pete Alonso is your home run champion. Just kind of got it on the background. He's of the New York Mets, and out of all the players who participated in that, I don't think Alonso was even thought of to be the person to come out of that. So congratulations to him. Again, Ronald Acuna was there. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was there. All of those players did very well, but it is Pete Alonso of the Mets. I'm John Morgo. Talk with Daniel Bolton here. Last three guys to do a podcast. Expecting Leon Brown to join us in a matter of moments. We're talking NBA. We're talking all the news that's been going on. And of course, the conversation has been dominated by Kawhi Leonard going from Toronto and signing with the Clippers, making the Clippers an instant viable contender in the Western Conference, something that hasn't happened probably since the heydays of Blake Griffin, about 2012, 2013, 2014. And I guess I'm going to say this right now. The last game of the NBA Christmas quintuple header will be Lakers-Clippers. I don't think there's any doubt of that right now. That's because we were speculating about that a couple shows ago. I think Lakers Clippers now will be one of those, that final game on Christmas Day, and that's suddenly must-see basketball, like all five or six of those meetings between the crosstown rivals, although not really crosstown because they do share same facilities over in Staples Center. So other news from the NBA, Daniel, is the news out of the Staples Center mates. The LA Lakers announcing that LeBron James will now be a point guard. Kind of interesting that he has decided that is where he's going to play. And it's a very, like I said, it's an interesting choice because we think of LeBron James. We don't think of him mainly as a distributor. We think of him mainly as a finisher. Can LeBron James be the effective point guard that the LA Lakers need to win the championship?
He sure can, and I'll tell you why. Because, well, the main thing that LeBron has over everybody is the size advantage. There's not a point guard that is built like him.
No.
Okay, he's 6'8", 260, 270, and he'll probably lean down to, he'll probably get down to 250 just to get the speed back because he's 34, and he'll be 35 when the season comes in.
Yeah.
So you have to take all of that into accountability, that his age is now starting to catch up to him,
mm-hmm.
and he will probably have to trim down some of that muscle that he has.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, you have to remember, this guy is a facilitator. He can see the floor like really no other guy can. I mean, he reminds you of a modern-day Magic Johnson, right?
Right.
I mean, if you've seen some of the passes this guy has made, like, it's amazing. And he's one of the most unselfish players in basketball. He realizes what he has around him. He has the making of a legit superstar in Anthony Davis, which he's already a superstar, but now you're about to really see his star power. Bunch of other guys have signed, too. They re-up Rondo's contract. They just signed DeMarcus Cousins, but we'll see how good DeMarcus Cousins is, even though he'll fit into that system because him and AD played together. Avery Bradley is expected to sign. Danny Green signed a 2-year, $30 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's got the pieces around him, and all he's going to do is make them better. That's all he's going to do. And I think it's a great move. There's nobody in the league that could really check him. He would be a huge disadvantage to a lot of teams, and that would leave a lot of mismatches open because, let's take, for example, you got Golden State.
Right.
If you're the Golden State Warriors, and let's say Klay Thompson is back. Let's say he's back, he's healthy, right? That means Klay would have to go to LeBron. So now who is your two going to defend? So now Steph Curry goes to Kyle Kuzma checks Steph Curry and vice versa. Or Kuzma's left open against Curry. So now you have a huge mismatch there and you have the liability. So it actually cancels itself out. The liability would come along because somebody has to defend LeBron, right?
Right.
And there's not too many players in this league that can. This is actually a phenomenal idea. I don't know who came up with it. It might have been Vogel. If he did, this is a phenomenal idea for him to put LeBron at the point guard position. He can do it. He knows how to facilitate. If there's anybody who knows how to, who's a floor general, it's LeBron James.
And we also have some news a little bit. Dallas Mavericks, they have traded for Deion Wright from the Grizzlies in exchange. The Grizzlies get 2 second-round draft picks in the future, and they also get the rights to Satnam Singh. Wright, again, originally was with Toronto, moved to Memphis, and now he is going to Dallas. Interesting move for the Mavericks. They're looking at life without Dirk Nowitzki. And they're trying to see if Wright will be. DeLon Wright. And they're trying to see. DeLon Wright. They're trying to see if he is that player. So a lot of great moves. Again, it just seems like that the NBA this offseason is the greatest soap opera on earth. And I almost would wish we had 12 months of this. You know, if they would just cancel cancel the season so we could have more of this, because this has been a lot of fun to cover, and more importantly, to speculate. Again, we've got, because we got Summer League right now, and we've got breaking news coming out of the, we had news coming out of the Summer League. Zion Williamson played a half, injured his knee, and now he's been shut down. The Pelicans taking no chances with the future of their franchise right there. As soon as he got even remotely dinged, they shut him down immediately. They want to make sure he's there for opening day. Daniel, I don't know if you've seen the injury. I'm not sure. It's not sure if this is any big deal or not. But again, the Pelicans are playing a lot of very, very cautious. I honestly don't blame them. And I think that they're just protecting their investment right now. They know that the first day of NBA regular season, that's the most important thing right now.
Yeah, you know, first off, I saw the game. It was because you're talking about between the Knicks and the Pelicans, right, where he hurt himself. I didn't see where he hurt himself, though, because he rarely played much. Mm-hmm. I'll say this, though. The Pelicans are smart. I think we said this before. We said this last week. This summer league thing sometimes can be, it's almost like, why do you have five preseason games in football or four preseason games in football, right?
Right.
Like, give us two preseason games. Just you have your dress rehearsal, and then you have the game where nobody really matters. Nothing really matters, okay? And let's start the NFL season. Don't take away the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, you know, because that's tradition.
Right.
Don't take away that game, but let that game be your dress rehearsal game if you get called to do it, right? So with the summer league, I really don't know. I really don't understand the purpose of it. Never understood the purpose of it. It's for G League players to me. Mm-hmm. For them to be looked at a little bit further. So if that's going to be the case, then let that be. Don't take away the summer league, but don't make rookies play in the summer league. You know, we want to see them when the lights are shining bright. Because, come on, let's face it, folks, the Knicks and the Pelicans will probably play on Christmas Day simply because of the fact that R.J. Barrett will play Zion Williamson.
Right.
So, look, so there you go. We have two Christmas Day games, Clippers-Lakers, Pelicans-Knicks, and that'll be the first game because the Knicks tend to play first. So,
well, if that's because they always put it in MSG, you know, I don't know if the Knicks ever have had a road game on Christmas Day.
I don't think they have either. That's why I think that they'll play in New York.
Right, probably. And also, as we're talking right now, it's halftime in the Pelicans summer league game against the Bulls. They have a 1-1 record, and right now the Pelicans own a comfortable 22-point advantage, 57-35 over Chicago. And Chicago, they have won a game so far. I think it's like the third summer league game for both teams. And we said this earlier, I think we said this last week about the Bulls, how they might be they might be one of the worst teams next season, as this team just cannot seem to get out of its own way. And it's kind of a question, why are the Bulls so bad? Is it their front office? And if it is the front office, how come we haven't heard anything about it? But
that's a good question. That's a good question.
I mean, that's just a good. I mean, that's like I said. Why are the Bulls bad? Do they have a plan? And how? And again, I don't know if this is just Chicago. Whether or not Chicago's more focused on something else that they're letting, they're giving the Bulls a pass. They're focused on the Blackhawks, the Bears, Cubs, White Sox, or maybe they're just, you know, they're content with getting all their championships and all that from the 90s and from the days of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and all those guys, but Bulls just don't seem to have a plan right now. At least none that we can see.
And they haven't really had a plan since the Derrick Rose days.
Yeah.
Or since when Derrick Rose was at his top notch level and at his top notch game or whatnot. It looks like they've hit the reset button hard. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they if people have ever owned a Nintendo or a Sega Genesis, yeah, like I did. And you know, and sometimes you pop the cartridge in, and you keep popping it in, and you keep hitting the reset button, you know, to make the thing work. That's what the Bulls seem like they're doing. That cartridge just can't seem to get right in that game console, and that's what's going on with them.
Losing by 22 in a summer league game, and I mean 35 points. And do they play the full regulation, or or is it a full 48 minute game, or is it a 44 minute game, 40 minute game? Because I don't think I even know that about how long these games are.
I think they play in quarters.
Okay.
They play 4 10 minute quarters, I believe.
All
it
right,
is.
So a 40 minute game. So like it's
yeah. So it's like the WNBA. Yeah, I think it's like the WNBA because I think the WNBA plays 4 10 minute quarters.
Yeah,
right?
They do. So
yeah.
All right. So I was just kind of wondering, you know, so 35 points for a 20 minute game, even though you are playing a P people who will never, ever show the light of day in the NBA itself. But still, I'm looking over their roster right now. I'm looking over the box score. You're talking about Walter Lemon Jr., who I guess they're hoping he's Meadowlark's son. Okay. All right. We are going to – let's see. I got to – All right, Leon Brown is here. I hope I can get Leon to call. Hey, all right, hey Leon, you there? Hey, oh wait a minute, I think I did this wrong. I'm trying to merge the calls.
Yeah, one second.
Hey Leon. I think I accidentally deleted Daniel. We're gonna get Daniel back on. John Morgo here. On the last week. Okay, that's right. Okay. Now, why is it? Yeah, we're ready. Merge calls. There we go. Okay, we get it right. Daniel, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I trying to merge Leon in. I think I got you guys both now. Daniel Bolton, John Morgo, Leon Brown, about ready to join us here on the last three guys to do a podcast talking the NBA. Weekend in free agency. Again, as I mentioned, probably the third earthquake that hit the Southern California area in the last 24-hour span, and we could argue that this is a Richter scale 8.3 that hit the area, with Kawhi Leonard jumping ship from Toronto, landing in the Clippers, instantly making the LA Clippers in the conversation for at least the Western Conference titleist and maybe even the NBA titleist as a whole, as Leon is just getting ready. He's just going to be sitting down and talking with us. And before we got into it, we were talking about how the Bulls just really don't have a plan. I'm just kind of looking over their summer league game with the New Orleans Pelicans. 57-35 is the halftime score. And I'm looking over their roster that they sent out there. Really, nobody you would know. But, of course, on these squads, there's nobody anybody would know. Because, again, it is just G League players. And really, all they're doing right now is just enjoying the Las Vegas lifestyle out there over at the Thomas and Mack Center and the Cox Pavilion. Another interesting thing, I don't know if you happen to see this, because of that earthquake, they suspended games from the Thomas and Mack Cox Pavilion Center. They stopped playing. Worried about the structural integrity of that place after the earthquakes hit, but I guess they gave it a quick run through. Everything's okay. And one thing about Vegas, there is no shortage of basketball arenas. If you can't play at the Thomas and Mack Center, you can play at the Orleans Arena. And every casino has a venue that could easily be converted for basketball. The Las Vegas Aces play at the Mandalay Bay Center. There's an arena at the MGM Center, at MGM Grand. There's another one over at South Point, which is 2 miles south of what's called the main Las Vegas Strip. They have a bunch of in-season college basketball tournaments, both D1 and D3. So that is a possible venue. And I just want to make sure that everybody stays safe out there. I have a lot of family in Las Vegas. I have a lot of friends in California. And I just want to wish that everyone stays safe and is careful, because with those two big earthquakes that hit, and they didn't even hit the main San Andreas Fault, they were about 100 miles north of the main fault. Seismologists expect the, quote, big one, unquote, is due. It's overdue. They expect it to happen any day. Not any day, I'm sorry. Because in geologic speaking, any day could be now in the next 10 years, right? We just hope that when it does happen, and if it does happen and when it does happen, it happens in an area that is remote, that's sparsely populated, and that all of the structures, buildings are up to code and can withstand an earthquake, and also that everyone knows what to do in the event that one hits and they are able to stay safe. So hopefully everybody out there will be able to do that. All right, Leon, are you ready to talk about your feelings on the Kawhi Leonard move to the Clippers?
Absolutely. All right. I have to say, for one thing.
You have the floor.
You guys got me?
Yeah, we got you, Leon. You have the floor.
You got it, man.
All right. As everybody knows, I'm a Laker fan.
Right.
And I'm going to speak as a Laker fan first.
Okay.
Emotionally. I was shocked. You know, I'm up like everybody else. I was following social media. I was following the main media. When I heard Crispy Star singing in the high 90s, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? It's the Lakers to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I did not in no way, shape, form, or fashion even fathom that he was going to the Clippers. You'd be like, why? And people might ask, like, why? Well, because one thing, he's from Southern California. He grew up a Kobe Bryant fan. Most people who grew up in Southern California were real Lakers fans.
Right.
Regardless. So if you grew up in Southern California, you're a Lakers fan. So naturally, you want to play for the Lakers. So I'm like, oh, this is a no-brainer. We, you know, just on the strength of legacy, the cachet, the purple and gold, the history that comes with that, expectations. Okay, cool. But then, you know, as a lateral basketball fan, you know, I'm not really too upset. You know, it creates parity for the league. You know, no one-sided super team that we complained about that was going on in Golden State. No more of that. You know. So, you know, as a way, I'm like, Kawhi didn't choose us, but then again, it's okay. Because for one thing, you know, with the Lakers, we have LeBron. We don't need too many playmakers on one court at the same time. You know, if you look at what was going on in Miami, you had LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh's career suffered. Someone had to be a third option. And in this situation with the Lakers, someone had to have been a third option. And unfortunately, we knew it wasn't going. It's not going to be LeBron. No matter what he says, he's going to get his 20. He's going to get 25 and 8. You know, AD is going to get his. And Kawhi Leonard just came off a championship in which he was the alpha dog in the offense. It's like, I'm not about to take a step back. And actually, he shouldn't feel that way. So I feel that it was probably the best thing that could have happened for Kawhi Leonard's career, for him to go to the Clippers, and for him to pull the power move that he pulled with bringing Paul George, another Southern California native, who you know grew up a Laker fan, who actually turned down the Lakers in favor of the Thunder, which shocked everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would... So, you know, if I told you I'm still not shocked at that decision, I'll be lying to you. I'm still kind of shocked, but I'm you know, with the moves that the Lakers has made within the last 48 hours, Laker Nation will be okay. It will be the battle of who can coach the best. Because from what I'm seeing with the Lakers, this is the deepest I've seen the Lakers in 9 years. Like, the Lakers are nearly building two teams,
right?
Which is great. You know, with adding and adding another pivotal defensive piece in Avery Bradley. I was hoping for Bradley Beal, but I'll take Avery Bradley because unfortunately it looks like we're not going to get Andre Iguodala. But we're going, but we'll take a defensive powerhouse anyway. I appreciate that. So, and one other thing with the addition of DeMarcus Cousins. Now, like the rest of America, I was very unimpressed with DeMarcus Cousins' performance of the playoffs this past year. I thought that he wasn't a difference maker. He was maybe a shadow of his former self. But at the same time, to his credit, he was a shadow of his former self. Coming off an Achilles injury.
Mm-hmm.
I think this man had a pulled thigh muscle or something like that. He just didn't look in great shape. It just didn't look like he was in shape enough to run that offense that they're running in Golden State. And with him coming to Lakers, him able to heal up someone during the offseason, and if he could come back strong, because we know that he had some pretty strong, he had a pretty strong outing the last time that him and Anthony Davis were together. So I'm hoping they could bring some of that back to the Lakers, but from a Laker fan talking. But from a logical point of view, if I'm DeMarcus Cousins, I would have went somewhere else. Because you look at that, if you're DeMarcus Cousins, last year didn't work out too good for you because you weren't the focal point of the offense like you were in Sacramento and slightly in New Orleans. If I was DeMarcus Cousins, I would have went somewhere like the Orlando Magic or somewhere like that, or somewhere like, you know, some, you know, somebody who needed a big man, somewhere you could patch that to get and get your statistical weight up. You know, if I was him. But I'm not him, and he's playing the Lakers, so I like that. So I'm hoping that he could, you know, we could see. Because now, like, he kind of lost his nickname, Boogie. You can call him Boogie. He's just DeMarcus now.
Right.
Just DeMarcus.
So he outgrew the nickname.
That's my thought. But it's so much to, I'm glad you guys haven't forgot about me. I did not forget about you guys. It's so much to unpack today. It's so much to unpack.
I know
it's so much to unpack.
Exactly, and we apologize to our listeners. Well, it will be when we took an extra day to tape this because, well, we were just wanting a day to kind of sit and go over what has happened with all the that big move with Kawhi Leonard and also Daniel. We were also talking about LeBron James being a point guard of the Lakers. Daniel thinks it's a great move. We also were discussing who is now the best team in the East. Is it Milwaukee's to win, or will Philadelphia make a stand, or possibly can Miami do it? Can Miami make a move if they get the Jimmy Butler situation resolved satisfactorily? So I think Milwaukee's probably got the odds-on favorite in the East. But boy, if they do make it, they're going to have a very hard challenge with whomever comes out of that Western Conference. And now we're saying, you know, the Lakers, Clippers, Warriors probably are going to miss a big man. They probably are not going. I wouldn't think the Warriors are going to make it again. The Rockets are still imploding, and it's just a lot of chaos going on right now. So, Leon, who do you net with Toronto now gone? And also I mentioned we also were talking about Oklahoma City trying to Russell Westbrook is now actively exploring an avenue out because with George gone, it looks like the Thunder are also in rebuilding mode, and we don't think Russell Westbrook wants to stick around and endure that because he is all about the legacy right now, and he wants to enshrine his legacy, get it in a very good form, and he will not be able to do that as a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. But again, I want to ask you, who do you like now in the East?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go with Milwaukee because I would like to pick Philly.
Right.
All right. I'd like to pick Philly because we look at Philly really didn't shed too much pounds with the exception of Jimmy Butler. But I believe that they are a trade deadline next year trade away from possibly getting D'Angelo Russell. I think that I don't think the Warriors will keep D'Angelo Russell. I believe that he is on a 3-month rental.
Mm-hmm.
He's only on rental until trade Thompson gets back. And then they will ransom him off to somebody else to get some, you know, I believe that's speculation. I'm going to go with Milwaukee only because there is no one in the East that can stop the Greek Freak. Right. He is now the LeBron James of the East. He is the new East of the East and getting better. He took that loss very personally last year. He was taken out of the series. They arguably had the worst loss of the playoffs last year, and that was all his fault. Oh no, it's straight up. If the Milwaukee Bucks would have won that series against the Toronto Raptors, he would have got all the credit.
Mm-hmm.
It would have just padded his MVP stat. It would have just padded it. So therefore, since he would have got all the credit, when they lost 4 straight games, which is like the worst type of sweep ever,
yep.
When you've been spotted 2 games and they just come back and beat you 4 straight times, then you're going to take all the blame. So I'm guessing that he's working out with Kobe Bryant this summer. And he is in the gym. He is going as hard as possible. And he will come back even better next year. And there is not a Baffa player in the Eastern Conference that can check that man. Nobody. And that's who I'm picking. Now, I would like to go with Philadelphia with the addition of Al Horford. I like that addition because Joel Embiid is as temperamental as a Jaguar car vehicle.
Right.
And I like Boston, who also has expectations, but with no Al Horford. And I just don't know how Kemba Walker is going to mesh with those other young guys. And the Suns just got rid of Morris to the Spurs.
Okay.
I'm thinking that the Eastern Conference is Milwaukee's to lose. Now, if the Oklahoma City Thunder somehow trade Russell Westbrook with a ridiculous contract he has, you know, which he earns, I'm not going to take that from him, and he goes to, say, a Detroit, which they can use Russell Westbrook. I think, you know, Detroit and Russell Westbrook make sense. That would put Detroit in the conversation.
Well, let me interject you for a second, Leon. That move, I'm not saying that it, because we've seen a lot of crazy moves, right? But there's news that Westbrook is eyeing Miami, and yeah, that's been the news that's been going on today, and Miami is equally interested in Russell Westbrook. So that means that could form another dynamic duo, our 10th dynamic duo of the league.
Yep.
That will form a formidable dynamic duo,
I think,
in Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook.
I think they'd be by far the most combustible dynamic duo of the league.
Yes.
I mean, that it could do every. It has equal chances of giving them a championship and also equal chances of them flaming out and burning all of Miami in a fireball. I mean, it could be either or. It could be the greatest thing, or the biggest train wreck ever.
John just took it all out. You know, John just that part, John. Whatever you just said is what I'm agreeing with.
Okay.
Yeah.
It could be either great or a train wreck. Either way, it's going to be fascinating to watch. And
right.
Ooh.
We're all looking forward to getting this NBA season right now. And another thing we were talking about, other points we were making, the Bulls just don't seem to have a plan because right now they're getting smoked by the Pelicans in the Summer League games. We were discussing how useful Summer League games are. The answer was not very. But and Daniel kind of made the point, well, let's make it 18. You know, it's like NFL preseason where you only have 2 preseason games and you have 18 regular season games. And while the commissioner and the owners probably want that because they could jack up broadcast rights, jack up fees and everything, they would also have to jack up player salaries, and they're not too keen on doing that. So I think we're probably just going to wind up 16-4 right now. I like what they used to do. Maybe 10, 20 years ago, where each team kind of played, kind of like what the NBA does now. And I like this idea in terms of the exhibition because they play games in other markets that don't normally get an NBA game. You know, visiting like, I'm just going to pull an example rear end here, like the Hawks going up to Nashville to play a game. Or like this season, the WNBA, the Atlanta Dream played a game in Albany, Georgia. So if you can get that, where other markets that don't normally get games get a preseason game, I'm all for that. I think that's great. It's a great way to grow the league. And if you're the NBA, I mean, not so much in the NFL because they want all that time. They want all those few amount of home games to get that dollars, because boy, they are not giving any discounts on anything for that. So that's just, I mean, that's honestly just revenue for them. But more so in the NBA, where maybe 1 or 2 games you can afford to go on the road and go to a place that normally doesn't get an NBA game and just try to grow your fan base. So that's neither here nor there, but that's kind of how I feel about the whole thing.
Yeah, like having a nice, like having a basketball game in Jefferson City, Missouri.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I mean, you know, look at that. I mean, it makes sense because you think to yourself, like, hey, it's going to help out the economy in those cities, right?
Right. Right.
But we all know that in the good old fashioned United States, it's not about the distribution of wealth. Socialism? That sounds like socialism.
Well,
to a certain degree.
Well, if they grow the fan base, then maybe they can get those jerseys sold and they get cut of those profits. It's kind of along those deals here on the Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. John Morgan, Leon Brown, Daniel Bolton discussing the NBA free agency, discussing summer league action. And Leon, I'll give you a chance to jump in on this topic as well. Zion Williamson played just enough for a cup of coffee for New Orleans. They hurt his knee is what has been reported, and now he has been shut down. Leon, do you believe that Zion actually hurt his knee, or maybe this is just New Orleans' way of trying to have it both ways, saying, okay, here you go, here's your look, but you're not going to see very much of it, and we're shutting him down because we don't want to jeopardize him, but we really don't want to say we don't want to jeopardize it.
Man, I'm about to hit the major panic button, sir. Oh. I'm gonna jump to all kind of ridiculous. I'm gonna jump to all kind of conclusions. I'm become a prisoner of the moment. I'm just gonna blow this out of total proportion.
Okay.
All right, John. You're the money motivated person. You see the bigger picture economically.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you first about this. I'm gonna swing it real fast. If you're Jim Dolan, do you give Kevin Durant, who just had Achilles injury, the max? Do you invest that? Knowing your history with Allen Houston and other bad investments of Amari Stoudemire,
well,
do you take that leap?
Well, Jim Dolan right now had no intention of going after Kevin Durant, but when he saw that Brooklyn got him, he had to say something to save face. So that's what he said. I think he had no intention. People in New York just want some sort of sign that the Knicks are going in the right direction, and they're not getting it. Whether it's telling Charles Oakley to go take a hike, whether it's basically turning your back on every free agent that's coming through. Basically what Mr. Dolan is doing is saying, we're the Knicks, that should be enough. And it's not.
Right.
And it's not.
Right.
And
as a Laker fan, I felt the same way when we lost the quad.
Right.
And I guess that wasn't enough.
He's got to.
We're the Lakers. And he's not enough.
Exactly. He's got to get up and do something positive. Really, because he thinks it doesn't matter what he does, he'll get a sellout every night in MSG. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who he puts out there. He'll get a sellout. And until the attendance numbers start dropping, until he gets dented where it counts, and that's the bottom line, he's not going to do anything.
Okay. So if you're in New Orleans, and you're looking at Zion Williamson, all right, do we believe with the 82-game season and 280 pounds of 19-year-old, of unadulterated 19-year-old,
mm-hmm.
You know, playing amongst a bunch of grown men. Do you believe that this injury just foreshadowed his career?
Oh, so you're
asking. You
think he's going to become a Greg Oden?
I'm jumping to conclusions. You're looking at this is a business.
Yeah, well,
this is a business.
It is a business, and like I said, I'm not ready to hit the panic button just yet. I'm not going to label him an Oden. I'm not going to label him a Michael Olowokandi, but I'm just looking at what the Pelicans are doing. Pelicans are taking every available precaution. They know they have basically put this man as the face of their franchise for the next couple of seasons. Regardless of what Mr. Ball says, it is Zion Williamson who is the face of this franchise, not Mr. Ball. It is Mr. Williamson who will be getting the people in the seats. It's Mr. Williamson who will be leading this team. They've got a lot invested in Mr. Williamson, not so much Mr. Ball. Although Mr. Ball would love it, I think, if Mr. Williamson went down, because then they'd have no choice but to turn to Mr. Ball and his entourage as saviors. But right now, the Pelicans are pretty much playing it extra cautiously. You better believe that Mr. Williamson is in the hands of the doctors, and Mr. Williamson probably has his own doctors that he's consulting. And they are going to take every precaution with him. I wouldn't be surprised if the next time he sees basketball action is indeed opening night. Maybe he'll get a cup of coffee in a preseason game. I don't know, but they're going to do everything possible to make sure that he is good to go on that opening night. And Daniel, while we have a moment, I'm going to lay out another prediction. I'm going to say for Christmas Day, it's going to be Milwaukee at Boston after the Knicks game.
Okay. I like that. We might as well go ahead and run down the entire.
We'll go with Philadelphia, Philadelphia, Miami, maybe, Golden State, Houston for the fourth one, and we've got the Clippers, Lakers for number five.
And Clippers, Lakers for five. You don't have to, but because they're still going to be relevant, the Raptors probably will have to be in there somewhere.
Okay, because they are the defending champions, even though I don't...
They are the defending champions, but I don't know if they would do that.
500 right. at that point.
If you don't see... I'd be shocked if we don't see a Clippers-Lakers showdown. But if we don't see a Clippers-Lakers, you'll definitely see a Raptors-Clippers matchup because of Kawhi Leonard going back to Toronto.
Right.
So you'll probably see something to that nature, but I don't see why you wouldn't see Clippers Lakers. I think that is a definite fact on that one. James Harden has to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's why I put Houston Golden State.
Houston Golden State, that would be probably the opportune matchup. You got two teams that are imploding. So why not put two imploding teams there? I like that lineup though, John. I really do. That the Milwaukee Boston matchup, Philadelphia, Miami, Knicks, Pelicans. That would be the formidable Christmas Day matchup.
That would be. So it'd be fun to watch.
I think it'd be even nastier. It could be a little Boston and Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I got something more disgusting than that. Brooklyn and Boston. Christmas.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Here's the only thing about that. Kevin Durant is missing.
Yeah, the following year, maybe.
That's all good. It's all right because that's going to be between Kyrie against Boston.
And you make that matchup in Boston.
Yeah.
Boston's got to be in Boston. We got to get even more grudge match with it. You got what's some other grudge matches that we see going on? Well, you know the Lakers and Clippers. That's already locked in. Another grudge match. I need disgusting. I like to say whoever that Russell Westbrook goes to play Oklahoma City, but the Oklahoma City might be a dumpster fire by it. But Russell Westbrook kind of OKC, generally they make it really crazy. I would say the Pelicans and Lakers, but then they're already going to play the Clippers already.
Well, we got the Pelicans playing the Knicks.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well,
that would be the Zion Williamson versus RJ Barrett matchup.
Right.
Yeah. I can like that.
John Morgo, Leon Brown, Daniel Bolton, last three guys to do a podcast talking NBA here tonight. And we want to thank all of you for listening. We're going to probably wrap things up in a couple of minutes, but because Leon was so late, because we had trouble getting Leon on and finally was able to do it, we're probably going to turn the last couple minutes over to Leon so he can talk about anything else in the NBA that caught his eye over the past few days, because I'm sure we missed a couple of things with what was going on, and there was a lot to digest, a lot that had been going on. So, Leon, do you have any other things that you have observed over the last few days?
Yes. I would like to say that there's two things that have to do with point guard. One is Russell Westbrook, of course, and two is Derrick Rose. And first, I'm going to start with Derrick Rose, and with him being a two-year, $15 million contract, which I'm very proud of him doing, you know, based on what he had to overcome, and him getting a possible shot at being a starting point guard again in this league. You know, that to me is huge. You know, from him having a 50-point game last year,
to possibly make an All-Star game to actually remain relevant. You know, I'm very proud of that. And next I'm going to Russell Westbrook, who, you know, who has been taking a beating in the media, who I'm a big fan of Russell Westbrook. You know, this man is a living legend as far as averaging three triple-doubles. I mean, as averaging triple-doubles in three straight years, which we haven't seen in any time in modern era. And, but at the same time, it, you know, in the NBA, like any other, anything that's based on profit and business is a business and is based on results. And unfortunately, you know, Russell Westbrook, he gets his stats, he gets triple doubles, but he has not made it past the first round since Kevin Durant departed 3 years ago.
And he has to
And
do
a lot
that.
Of people are, yeah, I mean, he's only won a grand total of three games in the playoffs in 2 years. With him, and last year, you know, let's say that he took a backseat to Paul George. Paul George had a career year last year playing Russell Westbrook. You know, this man was an MVP candidate, Paul George speaking, with playing alongside Russell Westbrook. He carried the heavy load defensively for Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook deferred offensively for Paul George. I mean, Russell Westbrook did everything that was expected of Russell Westbrook from doing. He deferred to Paul George, and yet and still, it resulted in them getting backdoor swept by a team that got swept by a team that didn't have Kevin Durant. So now it's, we're, you know, granted, Russell Westbrook is this living triple-double legend, but now it's to the point, you know, where the results are the results, and they're not amounting to much as far as in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, it's very unfortunate. You know, it's like, you know, I know it sounds shocking, but is the game passing Russell Westbrook by?
Well, the point
is he getting paid?
The point we made now is that Russell's playing for his legacy right now. He can't afford to be in another rebuilding situation like he was before. And he sees his window closing, and he's got to make his move right now. And unfortunately, that means Oklahoma City is no longer his preferred choice, and Thunder now in rebuilding mode. And
yeah, they're in rebuilding mode now.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to see the same thing with another big-name point guard next year, if not worse. John Wall.
Okay. Yeah, John Wall's kind of been ignored in Washington.
Oh, yeah. He's been ignored. This man ruptured his Achilles last year. He signed the same Supermax contract that Russell Westbrook signed. The only difference is that Russell Westbrook is productive, just he doesn't see his production equals to no wins in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Next year, the Wizards will lose Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
They will lose Bradley Beal next year. And the Wizards will be in the same situation, if not worse, than the Oklahoma City Thunder next year. So it's getting to that point where, you know, the young guys are essentially, you know, getting, you know, up. It's like the young guys are going, or a lot of these guys are going to get replaced. Unfortunately.
Right. All right, Daniel, do you have a quick point to make before we take our leave here on The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast?
Not necessarily. I do want to make a quick note. I have not written one of my great letters beforehand. And while we were sitting here talking, and while I was listening to you guys, I was thinking, I'm listening, but at the same time thinking, next week I'm going to do a little letter next week.
Okay.
And I am going to actually dedicate it to the ladies. We've seen a lot of girl power here these last couple of weeks while this NBA soap opera was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to salute a couple of things that I've seen in women's sports. So I really think it's time to put that in a nice little letter.
Oh, all right. Well, looking forward to that. Before we go, we want to leave on a well, I normally don't want to do this, but I think we owe it to ourselves to mention what happened last week in the world of sports. Three players, three personalities in the games lost their lives tragically, suddenly, and abruptly, although two certainly did. Of course, I'm talking about Los Angeles Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs, passed away suddenly on Tuesday. I'm also talking about the longtime legendary baseball coach at the University of Louisiana in Lafayette, Tony Robichaud, had a heart attack and passed away. He was there for a very long time, an institution over there. And I'm also referring to former University of Kentucky quarterback, former New York Giant quarterback for a little bit, Jarrett Lorenzen. He lost his
battle.
He lost his battle with he was sick and for a long time, for a while, and all three losing their lives within about 48 hours of each other. And we want to extend our condolences to all the communities affected by their losses. It was very sudden and a testament that you really don't know when your time is up. You need to make the most of what you have in front of you when you get the chance. So we want to wish our best to everyone involved and pray for them in the next few days. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this abbreviated edition of The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. We talked NBA. We talked a lot of things about it. Hopefully, we'll have more to do with the NBA when we next get together on for our normal Sunday taping. I want to thank Leon Brown, Daniel Bolton, as always, joining us here. I'm John Morgo. Thank you so much. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell someone you never know. Tell someone at MARTA or on the train about The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast, the Atlanta, the source for sports news and talk, both in Atlanta and beyond. Thank you so much. We'll be on. We'll be with you again next week for our 39th episode. This is our 38th episode that we're putting to bed right now. And come to think of that, I need to go to bed. So we'll be doing that. Thank you so much. Have a good night, everybody.